Today being December the 17th, 2023, we are going to begin a new Old Testament book, the book of Zechariah. The book of Zechariah. Now, the book of Zechariah is several chapters long. It's a good book in the Old Testament scriptures. And if you will look at this, these passages we've been reading in the Old Testament, they are so applicable to what we're seeing in our world today. So applicable. And so I want to encourage you with it. We're going to be looking at a lesson today entitled Zechariah's Visions of Hope. His visions of hope. I want to ask you a question here today. In the world that you live in today, have you ever been in a situation where it just seemed like there was just no hope for you? You ever been in one of those situations? Just seemed like there's no hope. Every which way you turn, it just seems to be a dead end. And there's no seeming way to get out of the situation that you're in. This is the situation that the children of Israel were in. Sin had caused a lot of problems in their life. Disobedience to God was their main problem. They chose to disobey instead of obey. But today, in our lesson, our main theme verse is found in Zechariah chapter 1, verse number 3. I want you to look at this verse. The Bible said, "Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." You know what God wanted them to do? He wanted them to turn into them. I got it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. I need to get that up here and just put a straw in it, you know? That'd be good. God wanted them to turn to him. They'd turn to every other means that they could think of, but they failed to turn to God. And I want to sum up the lesson in this one little statement. God is always faithful to give his children hope. God is always faithful to give his children hope. When it seemed like, boy, the world has just got you and you just don't have any place to go, you don't have any place to turn, let me tell you, turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Turn to the Lord. And he will help you. God always, he's faithful to give hope. And that's what Zechariah, God used this young man named Zechariah to bring hope to the children of Israel. To help them to understand, listen, I know you've done wrong. I know you've disobeyed me. I know you've sinned against me. But I've come to give you some hope. You know what? Our nation today needs some hope. Our hope is not in men. It's not in politics. It's not in wealth or fame or fortune. Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. So I want to help you with the lesson today with this, okay? In the book of Zechariah, we see God's visions of hope. And Zechariah today is going to give the folks several different visions from God to show them what God has in store for them. And I want you to see this. The people had suffered punishment for their sin. They had endured the chastisement of God. They were going to see even more coming if they didn't change their way of thinking. And God wanted to remind them, listen, I want to be that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to be there to help you. But you got to be willing to turn to me. You got to be willing to turn to me. I want you to see the fact that God is indeed our divine, supreme source of all hope today. Of all hope. And if we're thinking in our hearts today that there is no hope, we're wrong in that way of thinking. There is hope today. And that hope is in the Lord. So let's look at this today. I want to show you a couple things. Number one, I want to introduce you to this man, Zechariah. I want you to see the man. I want you to see a little bit about him today. And we see this all in verse number 1. And I want to show you some things here, okay? Verse number 1 says, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. In this verse, we see a couple things. Number 1, we see the man's name. And Pastor has taught us many times that the names of people meant something, okay? It meant something. Here, that name Zechariah, it literally means Jehovah remembers. Jehovah remembers. You know what? God never forgets his love for his people. And God had made a promise to the children of Israel that he would love them. He would care for them. He would take care of them through everything if they would only trust him. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Think about it, folks. Jehovah remembers. You know what he was saying? That God would not forget his people. God would not forget his promises. And God would not forget his purposes for leading his people in the way that he led them. I want you to see this today. Now, in this verse, we see here how this man from the tribe of Levi was the son of Berechiah. That was his father's name. And his father's name meant God blesses. God blesses. And he was the son of Iddo. And Iddo meant his time. And you know what, folks? Listen, God blesses in his time. If you look over in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, the Bible said something here, and I relate this a lot of times to the Christmas season, but I want you to turn there to Galatians chapter 4 just a moment. And in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, Paul wrote these words. He said, but when the fullness of time was come, in other words, at the right time, at just the right time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. For what purpose? To redeem them that were under the law. You and I were under the law. We were guilty. The law condemned us. But if you'll remember John chapter 3, verse 17, you know, God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And here in this verse, verse 5, he said, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. Man, God had a purpose. God had a plan. God had a promise that he gave to his people. And you know what? He wanted Zechariah to remind them again of God's faithfulness to his word. Zechariah had a tremendous heritage. He had a grandfather that loved God. He had a father that loved the Lord. And now he was called of God to deliver the word of God to his people in such a time as this. And you know, it's thought that maybe Zechariah, he may have been a young man at the time of this writing, just a young man. I don't know how young the scholars and things that did all that study work didn't really say. But they figured he was a young man. And if you look here, if you go back to where we started in Haggai, a couple weeks ago, Haggai chapter 1 says, in the 2nd year of Darius the king, in the 6th month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai, the prophet, unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. And what I'm trying to show you here is the time frame. The time frame. Look at it. In the 2nd year of Darius the king, in the 6th month. That's Haggai. Now, if you look here at Zechariah, okay, the very first verse, it says, in the 8th month, in the 2nd year, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah. So Zechariah's writings here evidently started about 2 months after Haggai's writings began. And Haggai's message to the people began. So Haggai and Zechariah must have been, perhaps they knew one another. I don't know what the situation was. But they wrote, God used them within just a several months' time there to write messages and to preach the word of God to the people of God because God was concerned for his people. Now, we know that his times, the times that he wrote were about 530 years before Christ. And Zechariah ministered up until about 516. So that's, what, 14 years that he ministered here. And it most likely was until the time that the temple was completed. But the time frame here, 530 years before Jesus came, before he came, God was trying to give hope to his people. And look at this, the message that he gives. When you read about this, Zechariah gives more prophecies about the coming Messiah than any other minor prophet that wrote during that time. God uses Zechariah to tell about this Messiah that would come, to give hope. And there's several times all through this, he talks about their submission to Jehovah God. You know what? We are a stubborn people, are we not? We don't like to submit to anybody but us, okay? We don't take time for God, and then we wonder why God doesn't take time for us. Yeah. We wonder, God, don't you hear my prayers? And God looks at us and says, well, haven't you heard me? We don't take time for that. The people of Jerusalem, the people of Israel, had not taken time for God. Every day was their day, okay? Every day was for them. It was built around them. They forgot the God that had been so good to them, who had delivered them out of bondage, out of Egypt, brought them through the wilderness, supplied their every need, and had not forsaken them in the worstest of times. And now they're wondering, boy, does God even care for us? And you know what God wanted to do? He wanted to give them hope and let them know, yes, I care. And he used this young man called Zechariah. Now, I want you to see the first of the three visions we're going to look at today. When the Word of God became written, it was put in written form. God gave us this book. We call it the Authorized King James Bible. It was put into the English language, which the Catholic Church called a vulgar language. The Catholics didn't want anybody to have it because they were fooling the people. They were tricking the people. They were making the people pay, okay, to have their sins forgiven. And listen, folks, no man can forgive us of our sins. And King James said, listen, I want to give you the Word of God so that everybody can read it for themselves. We need it in the English language. And they gave that book, this book that we have today, called the Word of God. They put it in print. And at that time, they had a printing press invented. And they could be able to print it out and give it to people. And you know what? Through the years, people have been killed because they believed this book. Man, many, many people have, millions upon millions of people have been put to death because they trusted the Word of God. And folks, before we had this book completed, all 66 books, before we had this, God spoke to his people. He spoke to the men of God through visions and dreams. And he said, thus saith the Lord, tell my people. And these men began to write these things and put it into written form so that people could have it. And as you'll remember, when Jesus came upon the earth, what did he teach from? He taught from the Old Testament scriptures. And the New Testament, the Old Testament said, he's coming. The New Testament tells us, he's here. And you know what? It is the fulfillment. It shows the fulfillment of those things that God promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, there have been groups of people all through the world. Listen, we've seen it this week where people say, oh, the Lord God of Israel is not the true God. We saw this week how that the fellow there in Turkey speaking in parliament and shaking his fist and saying, Allah is going to throw wrath down upon the children of Israel, and he's going to kill Israel. He's going to do away with Israel. And guess what? He fell over right there with a heart attack in front of all those people. Okay? Don't mess with God's people. Because when you mess with God's people, you're messing with God. And God wanted Zechariah to deliver the message that he had to give them of hope. And the very first thing that God tells Zechariah to tell his people, he said, you need to repent of sin. Listen, if you ever start a painting, if you ever take and want to put a picture on a canvas, okay? You know what? You got to start with a clean canvas, don't you? And you know what? God wanted his people to start with a clean canvas in life, so to speak. He wanted them to start clean. And so the very first thing we see in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, is God's call to his people, the children of Israel, to repentance. Now let's look at what it said. The Bible said here in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. You know what? God promised blessing if they would obey the Lord, if they would trust him. But God also promised chastisement and punishment for sin if they chose to disobey. And guess what? When they chose to disobey, they received the chastisement of God. They received God's chastisement. Listen, notice here in these verses how that on at least six occasions, Zechariah tells his people that the words that he is speaking to them, they're not his words, but they're the words of the Lord God. They're God's words. You count them here in these six verses, there are at least six times where it says, here came the word of God, the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. Saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts. And all of these times, God was wanting his people to know and understand that what Zechariah was telling them was not his words, but it was God's words. Zechariah was expressing to them God's desire for their love and affection and obedience. And folks, we have the written word of God before us today. We take time to read it. And people come back and they say this. They say, well, I'd read it more if I could understand it. That's the excuse that a lot of people use for using some other version of the Bible, okay? That takes away from the word of God. That cuts the passages out. that does not give the complete word of God. And people say, well, I just can't understand it because, you know, it's... Listen, the King James Bible was written on a fifth and sixth grade reading level. Okay? A fifth, sixth grade reading level. And the Bible contains its own dictionary. If you'll read verses in context, you'll see the definitions of words that you never realized before. But in case you don't see it, all you need is a concordance that tells you where the words are in the Bible. You can use that, go back, look and see how it's used, or use a dictionary. Do you know that Webster, when he designed the dictionary, he used Bible verses to define words, and he used Bible verses all in those dictionaries that he wrote. Listen, God wanted his people to understand what the problem was. And what was the problem? It was sin. Their disobedience. They had chosen to disobey God. Well, God, you just don't know what I'm going through. And God, you just made it so hard on me. And God, this problem. And God, that problem. And God said, if you'll trust me, I'll take care of that problem. And look what he said. He said, the Lord had been sore displeased with your fathers. Why was he displeased with the fathers of these people? Because they failed to turn to God. They chose to disobey. They failed to trust the Lord. But look what God said. He exhorted his people. He said, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he cries to me. He says, be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. The prophets before Zechariah had cried out unto these people's fathers and fathers before them and said, turn away from your evil ways and turn unto God. But they had refused to do it. Kind of sounds like America today, does it not? We've got a generation today that turned away from God. And that generation now has caused the next generation to turn away from God. Hey, listen, there was a generation that knew God, but that next generation came along. And they had heard about God, but they didn't know God. One generation knew God. The second generation knew about God. And now we have a generation growing up that knows nothing of God. And folks, had the fathers before them done what God said do, they would not be going through the heartaches they were going through right now. Amen. Now, you know what? I can't just put my lack of living for God on somebody else and blame them. You know what? People do what they want to do. Listen, I can't blame the people before me, okay? If they chose not to serve God, that's between them and God. But I have to make a choice of what I'm going to do with God. And so do you. And that's what God was trying to tell the children of Israel. He said, listen, your fathers before you, I tried to get them to do what was right, but they chose not to. But don't be like your fathers. Do what I've asked you to do. If you'll turn unto me, I will turn unto you. And that's what he was telling them here. But sadly, look at the last part of verse 4. He had told them, don't do as your fathers do. But look at the last part of verse 4. He said, but they did not hear nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Folks, disobedience to God's word affects every generation in an adverse way. Disobedience to God. Listen, if you and I disobey God today, it's going to adversely affect the next generation that's coming up. That's why it's so important that you and I live for God today and serve the Lord and pass the Word of God on to the next generation. Let them know what thus saith the Lord. Then we see here the next vision. after the call to repentance from God. And listen, let me say this. God's call of repentance is a serious thing. Because, folks, if we fail to repent of our sin, then we have to deal with the consequences of our sin. And listen, nobody wants to deal with the consequences of sin. Nobody wants to deal with that. Trust God. Obey God. Do what God said do while we have the opportunity. Now in verses 7 through 17, we see something kind of strange here. And it's a vision of the man among the myrtle trees. The vision of the man among the myrtle trees. The scriptures show us here how that after about 3 months from the time that God had told Zechariah and exhorted him to tell the people to repent and turn unto him, God gave Zechariah three different visions, three different messages to give hope to the people that God would do what he said do. The very first vision of it was this one here about the man among the myrtle trees. And we see that in verses 17 and 18. Look at it with me just a moment. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Now, number one, I want you to see the vision that he's given to them. In the days preceding the word of God, and I told you this a moment ago, in the days preceding the completion of the word of God, before we had a Bible that we could hold in our hands, before those days when we have a complete canon of the scriptures, God spoke to his men in visions and in dreams. He spoke to them and he commanded them to speak and say, thus saith the Lord. And then God backed up what he had told those prophets. And in this particular vision, God shows Zechariah a strange thing. He shows him a man riding upon a red horse. The Bible said, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. So we see the vision, but now we hear the question. And he asks the question. Zechariah says, then said I, oh my Lord, what are these? I mean, he didn't know what it was. He didn't understand. And so the interpretation then is given, beginning here in the last part of verse 9. And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And then we continue reading here in verses 10 through 17. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. And let me say this a minute. Pastor's always taught us this. When you see that little phrase, the angel of the Lord, the Old Testament scriptures, who is that? That's the pre-incarnate Son of God. All right, now look what it said. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth is still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? 70 is what? 70 years. Boy, they had been going through a tough time for those 70 years, had they not? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And let me say this just a moment. I know that Queen Oprah has said that she stopped believing about God being a good God when she read that he was a jealous God. But listen to me today, folks. Bless her heart. She's just been blinded by the devil. This was a message of love that God gave. And he said, you tell my people, I'm jealous for Jerusalem. In other words, I love no one else like I love Jerusalem. There's no one else that I love more. And look what he said. And for Zion, I'm jealous with great jealousy. In other words, he didn't want anybody stealing their love for God from them. Listen to me today. I'm going to go on record to say, I am jealous for my wife, Lisa, okay? With a great jealousy, okay? Now, that may sound stupid to the world today, but that what I'm saying is, she's my wife, and I love her. And she's the only one for me, and I'm the only one for her, and I don't need her going out here and looking around for anybody else. Because I'm the one that loves her. That's what God is trying to let them know. I love you above all other people. You are my chosen people. And folks, listen to me today. That's a compliment. He spoke good words and comfortable words, he said. And then he said this, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. The heathen, those nations around them, that had mocked and made fun of God and blasphemed the people of God and done all the wicked things they had done against the people of God. They had conquered and devoured and just done all kinds of manners of mean things. But they're sitting back now in their ease and they're just having a great time while the children of God are not having a good time. And look what he said. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. Boy, that's a blessed thought. He came back to Jerusalem with mercy. Listen, God is willing today to come back to America with mercy if we will but turn away from our sin and turn away from our selfish disobedience toward God and turn back to him. God will come back to mercy. He said, my house shall be built in it, in Jerusalem, saith the Lord of hosts. And a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Listen, he is giving words of comfort and strength and hope to these people. And the Lord God wanted to assure his people that everything would be all right. The 70 years of Babylonian captivity had ended. It had ended, but they were still suffering in the land during those days. They were still suffering. And then verse 13, the Bible said, the Lord answered. And notice that the L-O-R-D, all capitals, the Lord God Jehovah, answered the Lord, or the angel that talked with me, with good words and comfortable words. In other words, he was giving hope to his people. And he said, Zechariah, I want you to let them know I still love them. I'm jealous for them with a great jealousy. I'm not going to let anybody else hurt them. I am their God. Boy, that ought to have brought comfort and strength to the people of God. It brings comfort and strength to my heart to know that when I do wrong, I can go to God and I can say unto him, as we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, If we confess our sins, if we become honest with God, we don't confess it to a man. I've not sinned against a man. I've sinned against God. When we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful. Faithful. God remembers His promises. He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dog evidently got into the bathtub or something the other night. I don't know what happened. Man, she made a mess. But you know what she tried to do? She pulled the soap down. I guess she got it in her mouth or something. I don't know what happened. But she was walling around on the soap. Okay? I guess she's trying to cleanse herself. I don't know what she's trying to do. Good night. She had little things of soap all stuck in her hair and everything else. And she's a sneaky little booger sometimes. She'll run in there, and if I put a washcloth and over at the clothes hamper or something, she'll climb up in there and pull that thing out. And she will lay that thing on the floor and roll all over it like she's trying to wash herself and things like that. And if we walk over to get it, she picks it up and she runs to the edge of the bed and she just looks at us. And that little front paws are down the ground. She's got that rag in her mouth. The little back end's up in the air. That little tail's wagging like this, okay? And I said, "Now, precious, give me the washcloth. Give it to me." And she'll just look at you. And I walk toward her, and she scrambles underneath the bed. And I can't get to her. Just, you know, doing crazy things. But I say that to say this. Listen, we can't cleanse ourselves. We had to pick that soap and pick the stuff out of her fur and all that stuff. God is willing to pull out the sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we are first willing to go to Him and be honest and confess our sin unto Him. He said, verse 15 here, He said, "I've been very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction." But folks, I want you to remember something here. God was upset with His children. But now He's extending to them mercy. And I'm reminded of what David wrote in Psalm chapter 30, verse number 5. David said this. He said, "For His anger endureth but for a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." Amen. And boy, God was giving them hope of joy and peace that was to come. The city as well as the temple would indeed be rebuilt. And God would once again cause His people to prosper. What a vision of hope that must have been for Zechariah to give unto his people. But then he gives the vision of the four horns and the four craftsmen. And that begins here in verse number 18. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll cover that with you, okay? All right? I don't have time to go into the whole thing with you. Listen, folks. God gives His men the word. His men were to deliver that word, and then the people were to obey that word. And folks, our objective today should be this one simple thing: to be willing to trust God and obey His word. Amen. Folks, most of our problems come today because we fail to obey the Lord. We choose to do our own thing. We choose to follow our own plan, and then we get upset when God doesn't help us. And sometimes, like my parents used to tell me, they'd tell me, "Son, if you can't listen, you're going to have to feel." Boy, I thought they hated me. I thought they hated me because they wouldn't get me out of my trouble. But you know what? I brought it on myself. Yes. Folks, these Old Testament scriptures show us that God is still in control. Amen. And sometimes we shun them because we think, well, it's the Old Testament. It doesn't really mean anything. I'm going to tell you, these things enlighten us to see what the problem is in our country today, our nation today, our city today. We've turned away from God. We've chosen to go our own ways. And now we're reaping the consequences. Let's turn back to God. Let's pray for our families, for our schools, for our teachers, for our city, our state, our nation, that their hearts would turn back to God and God would once again send revival to our land. You and I are the ones that need the revival. And if people see that God is real in our lives, then they'll see that God can be real in their lives as well. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Father, I love you today. And Lord, I thank you for these lessons that you've given unto us from the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, today that you will help us to see our need to turn away from sin, Lord, and to choose not to disobey you, but to obey you in all things. Lord, we are but frail human beings, and sometimes we fail you. But Lord, when we do, help us, dear God, to go back and remember that you are a faithful God. And you're willing to forgive us of our sins, our iniquities, if we will but turn unto you and repent of that sin. And Lord, when we repent of that sin, it doesn't mean we just come back every week and do the same thing over and do it again and apologize again. No, we turn away from that which we've done. We recognize it as sin and we don't go back and do it again. Help us, Lord, to be willing to do that today, to turn from sin and trust you in all things. Bless our pastor now, Lord, as he stands to preach the word to us. I pray, God, that you'll give him the message that we need to have today. And Lord, if there be someone listening to the sound of my voice today that is not saved, I pray, dear God, that you'll convict them of their sin and help them to turn unto you before it's eternally too late. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for getting to be here.